Torahway, Northwest London, Friday, Beis Tammuz, 26th of June.
The 1st of July.
Yes, it is the 1st of July. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Korach, Rabbi Yoni Birnbaum Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Nishmas Reb Zeif and Reb Dov, Dr. Littlestone Zichron Levrocha, whose 10th Yod site was on Sunday.
Thank you very much. Good morning. So there's a Rashi in this week's Parsha, which I think is one of the hardest Rashis to understand. It's a Medrash, but I think it provides a perspective which is, if you like, it's Machayavas, to try and understand the essence of Parshas Korach and the messages that it has for us. If you look at Rashi's on Pasuk Chof Zayin, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chof Zayin, on the Pasuk of Dosan and Aviram Yotzin and Tzovim, the Torah says, Neshem of Vnei V'tapom. They all left, Neshem of Vnei V'tapom. Everyone, they went out Yotzin and Tzovim, they were standing upright, their wives, their children, even their little ones. Rashi says, very famous Rashi, Boi Re'ei Kama Kosha HaMachlokas. We see how terrible Machlokas is. Shari Beistin Shalmato in Unshin Elad Yishiyovish Deisaris, Beistin Shalmato only punish when one has reached physical maturity, based in Shalmala, Destrim Shona, based in Shalmala, only 20 years old. And here the youngest of the young perish. And it's a Rashi which we learn many, many times, and we sort of go on. And we need to stop. We need to stop and ask ourselves what Pshat is, how to understand this, just on a basic level of how that can work in terms of Din, justice, these children, the youngest, the Yonke Shodayim, what did they do wrong? And also, what the message is of the whole episode of Korach, that it had such a deep and a tragic consequence that it affected so many different people. I suppose almost like on a basic level, Chaim Shmulevitz says that in Sichus Musa, that the idea is based on the concept of Shoresh Pora Rosh Velano. The nature of machlokas, the nature where machlokas can go and what it can lead to, means almost that it's almost like an inevitable consequence. If one is in a situation, a setup that is founded in machlokas, then the consequences are almost always unforeseen, but equally are immensely tragic, because it sweeps up so many different people. He compares it to the concept of a ben Sora Amora, Yom Zakav, Yom Eschayev, because there are consequences which are unpredictable. And the Torah therefore predicts it for us and says this is what will happen. And as a result, what Rashi, he says, is trying to say, Borei Kamakosha Machlokas, is basically, he says, Ad Heichon Midas Horal, how bad the poison is, how far it actually goes, how deep it can travel, so that even the Yom Kishodayim can perish. The difficulty, of course, still remains, though. How was it? How can it be? In terms of din, in terms of justice, the Gur Aryeh says, along similar lines to the Sichos Musa, and he says, the pshat is that, and he asked the question, what is the difference between this chait and every other chait? Why here should a cotton be punished? And he says, you want to understand the primary reason? It's as follows. The reason why a child is not punished, because Hashem doesn't bring an onesh on a cotton. Why should a child be punished? They're not responsible. He says, machlokas is different. Gehinnom itself is attached to machlokas. Gehinnom and machlokas, he brings a medrash that says both gehinnom and machlokas were created b'yom sheni l'maisa bereishis. Lo'idia ke machlokas, guf hagehinnom. It's all one thing. It's the same thing. And he says that's why lekach ne'enash afakotzon ki ha'onesh bo me'atzmo. It comes of its own accord. It's not the same as any other category. It comes by itself. But Hashem, he says, doesn't punish a cotton to bring on him an oynesh. It happens automatically, so to speak. He brings a moshel. He says, if someone says, I'm not going to kill you, if you kill yourself, I didn't do it. So it's philosophically it creates problems for us to understand that. But he's saying it's not a. He's saying it's as if the person is doing it to themselves. He says that's what machlokas is. Kivan shenivra gehinam im machlokas shemevi atzmoi la'oinesh, brings himself to a situation of punishment. This is not called bringing the oinesh on him. Kol ba machlokas mekomei miyuchad lehu gehinam shenivra imoi mekenu shayach loy. It's connected. It's connected to him in this way, and it's an automatic consequence. And he says that the concept, it seems to be in the next few lines that he's referring to the metzias, the way things work, the way situations arise in terms of machlokas. He says that there are people who act lifnim meshuras adin, beyond the letter, strict letter of the law, ve'ein be'elu anashim machlokas. And the metzias is people who live their lives in a way of acting lifnim meshuras adin. You find that they don't have machlokas. Ve'yesh ma'amidin divreim al hadin, but there are others who are always particular to be ma'amid divreim al hadin. They say, you know, this is my right, my entitlement, this is my due. Obozes is the maral, motzuya machlokas. That's where you find machlokas. You want to understand how to find, discover where machlokas appears? You simply have to ask yourself, is a setup, is the person working with the middah of lifnim meshuras hadin or in din? That's the difference, that's how it works. And he says, nimtza bali hamachlokas hakol din. With the Baalei Machlokas, everything is din, everything is judgment. That's how it works. Everything is justice. I want what I'm entitled to. We could add perhaps to what the Maharal is saying that this helps us understand why the Piha Oretz is Nivra Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Why is it specifically this list? Why are there certain things? Why does it have to be that? Because Baruch Hu created, you don't find on the Makkos are all created on the Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. What is it about the Piha Oretz, for example, that's created by Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes? So maybe the Pshat is, based on the Maharal, that because it's an automatic consequence, so the Onesh itself is embedded in creation. It's there, it's present. The Onesh, the consequence of Machlokas, is something which it's there, it's ready, it's waiting, it's automatic. It will automatically kick in a setup such as this. That's the message, perhaps, that was Nivra Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. It's something that is there, that is inherent within.
I don't understand.
Sorry?
I don't understand.
What?
What you just said.
No, all I'm suggesting is that if the idea, as the Maharal says, right, is that Machlokas is linked to Gehinnom, they were also created on Yom Sheni, right, on Yom Sheni Maaseh Bereishis. And he uses that to understand that you shouldn't look at the consequences here as a straightforward oinesh, dine oinesh, because you can't understand. How could it be the katana can be punished? Yom Kishlam doesn't make sense. So he says it has to be there's an automatic, it's an automatic thing. There's an automatic, machlokas itself leads to an automatic, automatically tragic consequence. You brought this on yourself, right? So maybe when Chazal say that this was one of the things that was a nivra be'erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes, it's the same idea, it's the same theme. Just as you brought machlokas, when you bring machlokas on yourself, the onesh is automatic and follows along, so too that's what we see with Korach. Korach is punished in a way that was embedded in Maaseh Bereishis. There would be an automatic consequence for machlokas. Not that that's always the case. Not everyone who's a machlokas, the earth opens up and swallows them. But the classic case of machlokas teaches this limud, this idea that there are automatic consequences for machlokas. It's something which will transpire. No, I'm just linking it. All I'm saying is I'm linking it to the concept of being embedded in Maaseh Bereishis from the beginning. That's the Maharal's idea. That's what the Maharal says. The Maharal doesn't mention the Piha Oretz. I'm suggesting that that's a
hosofa. It's part of teva. Yeah,
exactly, it's part of teva. That's what machlokas is. There is a teva consequence, right, for people who embed themselves in machlokas. That's all. No major chiddush. Just
I don't know about the others. I haven't understood the Maharal though.
Go on.
Nothing is automatic. There's no teva.
That is the kasha on the Maharal. Of course.
So
yeah.
How can you say to a child that it brought the consequence upon itself?
Yeah, it doesn't. That's why I said it's a difficult. It's a difficult thing to understand. And I think, how we understand in detail how that can work, it's still ultimately, the consequence is still there for the child? How can we understand the din, the justice, that absolutely. It could be that's why you have to connect this with, like as I said, Rucham Shmuel Levitz's idea. The idea is this is a shurish pura rosh velano. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, which is the way Derech he takes, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the Ben Sura Mora, yeah. Right? Yeah, that because true. They are connected to Machlokas, Nidon al Shem Sofo. What will be at the end is they would inevitably be swept up with the same thing. Yeah, but we'll come. But there are others. There are others who because of this problem. Just to say, Rabbeinu Bachai, for example, says that because of this kasha and because of other problems as well, this Rashi and because of other problems as well, this Medrash, he says that the only way to understand this parasha is based on Kabbalah, Api Kabbalah, and the idea they were all Gilgul Neshomas of Sodom and the Dor HaFloga, meaning he has such a problem with this Medrash, Rabbeinu Bachai, right? He has such a problem with this these kashas, he says this is really the only way to explain the parasha, that they were all Gilgul Neshomas from the Anshei Sodom and the Dor HaFloga, you know, he goes through the whole thing, how that works, he links the similarities in the Psukim between them, so it's a fascinating piece, but ultimately, that's his only resolution. In other words, I don't have a resolution. This is the only way I can understand it. Otherwise, how is it possible to understand how they could perish? This is what he said. When it comes to understanding the, if you like, the defining features of machlokas, so Rucham Shmuel Levitz carries on and says that he carries on in Sichas Musa and says that the essence of, if you like, of machlokas is being unwilling to hear the other side. That's the idea, that unable to hear the other side. And you find that in a very striking way in the parasha, because Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Korach at the beginning, right? So Korach makes his first claim, Ki kol eido kolam kedoshim, and Moshe Rabbeinu responds. After that, he's silent. Right, there are actions that take place, but you don't see that there's another dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach. You look at it very closely. It's a fascinating thing. You know, it's not that there isn't a there are events transpiring with the Keteris, but actually engaging in a conversation. Why? Because it's impossible to engage a Korach in conversation. There isn't anyone to talk to. There isn't anyone to listen. Right, and of course that the contrast to that, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Hillel and Shammai, or on the contrary, they have the whole way through Shas. That symbolizes the fact that Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim, because there's a dialogue, because they're in conversation, because they are respecting and listening and hearing the other side. The question is, how did Korach get to this place? How did Korach get to be the one who symbolizes Machlokas? And here I'd like to give you two different Mahalchim. One is printed by Darchi Musa in Sefer Darchi Musa, and he, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, he suggests that it's all based on Kovod. And then there's another pshat which I saw from Cheskel Weinfeld Shlita's Rav in Yerushalayim. I used to have in his shul in Ramat Eshkol, very big Talmud Chacham, it's fantastic ideas. So the first is, I say, the Darchi Musa. He says like this. He says that ultimately, everything is to do with Kovod. Everything was Kovod, and he says that when it comes to covered, it's impossible to predict where things will end up. He brings a Masilas Yesharim who says, "Aldovas anichshelu rabim v'nevdu." On this, so many people have fallen and they have become lost as a result. He talks about the famous example of Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat is nitrit from Olam Haba because of the covered. Because of covered. It says that Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch was tofes bevigdoi, took hold of his garment, and he says, Chazor b'cha, v'aniva ato ben yishan etal b'gan Eden. I'm giving you a chance. We will all walk in Gan Eden together. And he says, famously, mi borosh, who's going to be first? Ben yishay borosh. And he says, if so, lo bo'ino, I don't want. I don't want it, right? Yeah. So the point, says Rabbi Yaakov, is this. Yerov ben Avot was clearly an incredibly great person. Right, he noticed, he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tofes bevigdo. Right, you have to be on a certain madriga for that to happen, obviously. And he heard and he listened. He saw what was happening. And if you look carefully, he says, you look at the lashon of Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Ani va'ato, I and you," and only afterwards Ben Yishai Natal Began Eden. Right, he was before Ben Yishai. Right. But he wanted to hear explicitly that he would be first. Even though the order had been, Ani v'atov ben Yishai. Me and you and Ben Yishai were being ganed. He wanted to hear it in the right order. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, yeah, Im Kain ben Yishai Barosh. Because you've asked, because you have wanted to be first, now Ben Yishai will be first. And that's what, therefore the message he says is that because he could not be Mavata on his covered, even though he had the ability to be Matayel in Gan Eden with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he wasn't Mavata on his covered, that is why he ended up the way he did. And the Mesillas Yesharim carries on and says, Mi goram lekorach shiyavad hu v'chol adosoi, elom ne'a covered. Because of covered, that was what it was, and that's what it means when it says Bikashtem gam kohuna. So that is the first, if you like, perhaps maybe a straightforward pshat in the psukim, that the what prevents Korach from hearing the other side, in other words, being the Baal Machlokas in that sense, the search for covered. Once he's fallen into the trap of searching for covered, it's impossible to hear the other side because he's focused only on that end, on achieving that covered, right? So the other pshat, which I saw, which Reb Weinfeld suggests, is a very, very beautiful pshat. The question is, what is it about the connection between Yaakov Avinu and Korach? Why is it? It's a very strange Rashi at the beginning of the parsha where. It says, Rashi says that Korach didn't want Yaakov and Davin, he shouldn't be mentioned with Korach, right? He shouldn't mention Korach. What's the problem? The problem is, why would we go back to the great-great-grandfather? Why would you expect there to be a list? There's almost an expectation there that there will be a list all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. And then Yaakov Avinu davened so that his name shouldn't be mentioned with Korach, and therefore, and of course, Rav answers him, that's why it only goes back to Ben Reuven. But why would you expect Yaakov to be mentioned? So he suggests as follows. There is a danger, if you like, associated with the middah that epitomizes Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is emes, right? Titain emes li Yaakov. That's what Yaakov is emes. What is the risk associated with emes? The risk associated with emes is you can be so sure that you're right. You're so absolutely crystal clear that you're right. Yeah, Yikuf Adin Esahar, I am right and everyone else is wrong, right? That it can lead to disastrous consequences. At some level, there is a deep connection between Yaakov and Korach. Because Yaakov represents MS, and Korach comes along with his MS and says, I believe so profoundly, so strongly, right, that Madua Tisnasu Kal Hashem, I'm a right. It, in a certain respect, it's a quest for what he perceives the MS to be. He's wrong, but he perceives that MS to be. I'm entitled. This is the way it should be. Things are not being held, being run correctly. So there is a connection at some level. This mid of MS is instilled in Korach, but it comes out in the wrong way. Why does it come out? How do we understand the fact that it comes out in the wrong way? So he brings a medrash in Parshas Bereishis, very famous medrash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam HaRishon, you have this machlokus between the Malach HaShareis, whether man should be created, right? Chesed v'emes, say Chesed v'emes Yivra, Chesed, the middle of Chesed says he should be created because he's going with Chasodim, Emes says he shouldn't be created because Kolei Shkarim, right? You're familiar with the Medrash. Tzedek v'emes Yivra, Shesed Stokos, Tzedek says he should be created because he does righteousness, Shalom v'emes Al Yivra, he shouldn't be created because it's all Ketotze, it's all machlokus. Now, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? In Notel Emes v'shlich al Oretz, he casts Emes down to this world, right? And then, as a result, man is created. The difficulty with the Medrash is that ultimately it's two against two, and if it's two against two, you only throw Emes away, but Sholem is still objecting. So, how does that enable man to be created? So, the Yofei Torah says, because it's two against one. You've removed one. But even so, that doesn't help explain why it is Emes that's removed and not Shalom. Why is it that the Emes that objects to the creation of Adam is removed and that enables the creation of man? So the pshat is like this. There's a Ketosa Choshen. Ketzos says in his Akdoma to his Sefer, in Akdoma to the Ketzos, he talks about what does it mean, Matashlich Emes Arza. What does it mean to cast Emes to the ground? Basically, he says like this. He says there are two types of truth. There's an absolute truth, and there is relative truth, right? Absolute truth is something we cannot access. We cannot access absolute emes. The absolute emes of the Torah is something beyond us. It is a level that we aren't able to connect to, even if we want to, that absolute emes. The concept of a tashlich emes arta, and that's, by the way, that's the objection of the Malachim. The objection of the Malachim is, how can you create man? Man cannot possibly connect to the real emes. The response is, Vatashlech emes arzo. Hashem casts emes to the ground by being, and by doing so is mechadesh, that emes is not about, the emes is not about only the absolute truth. It's the truth that we try to establish to the best of our ability, understanding the context of what it means to be human, which means that we have negius, we have difficulty. It's not simple, it's not straightforward, and this is the context in which the Ketzos brings in his Akdoma, a sensitivity to understand that others may disagree with us. You mechadish something in Torah. What is chidushei Torah? It's working through something, and it's establishing what you believe to the best of your ability is the MS. It may well be that you've made a mistake somewhere along the line, but you've done your best to be mechadish, and in that way, try to connect with the MS. The Sholem's objection to the creation of man is kulei katota. It's all machlokas. Every person thinks that their MS is their MS, and everyone else is wrong. That's the Sholem objection of Sholem. Everything is wrong. Everyone else, you think you're entirely right, and everyone else is entirely wrong. Right? That is the concept of kulei katota. Everyone is always, there's always machlokas, but that is when we look at MS as this idea of absolute truth, right? Which we human beings can't really achieve. But if you look at it with the sensitivity that it has a relativeness to it, if you like. In other words, I understand that I'm coming to it from my perspective. This is my position. This is the best I can do to perceive the MS based on who I am. In other words, it's MS Arza, right? It's MS in this world. That's how you can avoid machlokas. That's how you avoid machlokas. Because you understand, like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that we're each trying to understand the Torah to the best of our ability. I perceive the MS this way, you perceive it that way, and that's how we come together. We can be noichin zel azeh b'alocha. We can both work together, even though we're disagreeing. So in other words, by being a tashlich eretz arza, by casting emes to the ground, right? What does that do? It also solves the objection of Sholem. Because the objection of Sholem is kulei katota. They're all fighting. The answer is, they won't have to all fight if they appreciate how emes is meant to exist in this world, where we are. So with this, we understand the difference between Yaakov Avinu and Korach. Korach is believes only in, right, that idea of absolute truth. If I am right, you are wrong. There is no possibility that we can both be right. We can both have a different perspective on this. And therefore, Korach cannot exist on this world. What happens to him? Yeah, he has to go beneath the world. He can't be in the Eretz. He's swallowed up by the earth because he can't be in the place of Atashlich Emes Arza. He can't be on the land. He can't be in the world because he's looking for this idea of absolute truth in that way, which is not possible. Yaakov Avinu creates the mid. Yaakov Avinu represents the middle of Emes, the middle of Emes, and it's also this synthesis between Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham, as in Chesed, and Yitzchak as in Gvura. Yaakov Avinu connects the two, is a synthesis in that sense, and that is the middle of Yaakov. That is the middle of Yaakov Avinu. In other words, he has the ability. He lives with Vatashlich Emes Arza. I can understand that it's not about I'm saying I'm completely right and you're completely wrong. No, we have to exist in a context where we understand there are differences between people. I can only perceive things as far as I can in a relative sense. As long as I'm working, obviously, within the right parameters, I'm doing my best to work out what that emes is. So this is why you would expect Yaakov to be mentioned with Korach, and equally, it is why he is his tefillah is answered not to be mentioned with Korach, right? Now, the other part of the Rashi, though, as Rav suggested, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful pshat, why does Rashi then go on to say, V'heichon motzinu, where do we find the Yaakov Ovinu is mentioned with Korach, right? So where is that? It's in Divrei HaYomim, right? Aladuchon, b'siachsom aladuchon. When in Divrei HaYomim, the listing of the Levim aladuchon, when they sing Shira, specifically in the context of Shira, Yaakov Ovinu is mentioned with Korach, when the Levim sing Shira. Because Shira represents this idea on a physical level of what emes in this world can really be and should be. What is Shira? If every person in an orchestra stands there and plays their own instrument, right? I have my recorder, I have my drum, I have my trombone, and I'm going to just make a noise on that instrument, right? There will be no Shira, right? It will be just a cacophony of noise. There's no ability to create. The only way to create Shira, right, is if I understand that you have your instrument and I have mine, and we each come together in it to synthesize in a whole, right? That is where Yaakov Avinu is mentioned with Korach. Because Yaakov Avinu, if you like, counteracts that middah of Korach. He, in that context, we mention Yaakov Avinu. Because then it's not Yaakov Avinu being simply the ancestor of Korach. It's Yaakov Avinu responding to the problem of Korach. Of Korach saying, I am right and you are wrong, creating that this terrible machlokas in that way. Yaakov Avinu's emes allows space for others, allows space to come together, allows an understanding of difference between people. And with that, he says, you can also understand why the Keteres also features so prominently. Because the Keteres is the same thing. The Keteres, yeah, has the Chelbonah. The Keteres of itself, even leaving aside the Chelbonah with the bad fruit, it only works because you put in the exact ingredients in the right way. That's what it is. And that's why Keteres appears twice in the Parsha. Once in a negative sense and once in a positive sense. How can that be? And the answer is, for someone like Korach, he can't understand. He can't understand how you can possibly have a synthesis of different ingredients. How you can have a ostensibly bad fragrance mixed in with good fragrances. So for him, Keteres is a samhamovus. It's poisonous. It can't work because he can't live. He can't live, and he can't understand what that MS is. He can't understand this idea of relative perspectives, and we can both come at this from different angles, and we can come together and work out together the way to live as a whole. Whereas when the Keteres is mentioned the second time, then it's a Keteres which has a positive ability, because if you can live with the emes the way Moshe Rabbeinu approaches it, then Keteres is a positive thing. So that is how Korach goes so badly wrong. That's how he ends up the way he does. So I think these two different pshatim help us understand, even though, as we started with the Rashi, to be able to solve and to fully understand why it is that the Yom Kei Shodayim Perish is immensely difficult. Like as I said, Rabbeinu Bachai says the only way to understand this is a bikabola, because it's something we can't really fathom. We understand it as the idea that it's something which is so devastating that it leads to these disastrous consequences. But in terms of Korach himself, these two different Mahalchim, Korach arrives there either because of his Bikush HaKovod, because he's so desperate to seek Kovod, or because he misunderstands what Emes is. He's a descendant of Yaakov Avinu, but Yaakov Avinu's Emes is Vatashlich Emes Arzo, understanding Emes on this world. As we started with the Maharal, if a person approaches this world, with a middah of din, rather than lifnim mishuras adin, everything is, I'm right, I'm entirely din. That's the emes, that's the dangerous emes of Korach, and that leads to the devastating consequences that we see in the parasha. Good Shabbos. Yes.